The Mike that I'm talking to is Mike Henry, Carbondale Mayor. First off, buddy, it's good to see you again.
Well, same here, buddy.
Hey, so what do you think? How do you like the job?
I like it real well.
Yeah?
I like it real well. I've been going to all of our commission meetings, trying to get to all of them anyway. I've gone to most of them because I appoint people to those commissions, trying to figure out what their mission is. And
so you're going the full immersion route, that if I know everything, then I'll make better decisions, and it's just time to get in there and fully immerse yourself. Whether you're required to go or not, to find out what's going on, keep an eye on the temperature, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. And the civic clubs are inviting me to speak to them. Good. So it's another good way to keep in touch with the citizens. And
you know, one of these ways that you can do that, I would think, would be 4th of July. You can hang out at the fireworks. What's the plan for Carbondale this Saturday?
Well, we're going to have fireworks on July 4th. The rain date is July 5th. It looks like it may rain both days now. We hope not. It's at our super block, which is directly south of University Mall near Carbondale High School. We enter Super Block off of Lewis Lane. There's parking there for about 300 cars or some bleacher seating.
I was wondering about that. I was back there just about 2 weeks ago. I had not been back in a while. It's a nice place, a lot of room.
Yeah, a lot of room, soccer fields back there and so on. People should bring their camping chairs, lawn chairs to sit in. Also have additional parking off of Grand Avenue at the two schools, Carbondale schools, that are along Grand Avenue.
That's right.
So you can park there.
You just got to walk around the corner.
Right. And you can park at the high school and also at University Mall. So,
all right. You know, when I started hearing about the city council's taking up the subject of residency requirements, it's weird because everybody already has an idea about what residency requirements are. And I think that's what happened to you. The conversation started, and everybody goes, it seemed like everybody had an idea, but really there was already some stuff on the books.
Yeah, there's a lot of detail in it when you once you get into it, and that's kind of what I found out as I got into it, looking at it. And what I was hoping to do was really start a conversation in the community and the council, and I definitely succeeded with
that. From the outside looking in, Mike, correct me if I'm wrong, but it looks like the residence requirement is, well, something happened and then we plugged another piece on, then something happened and we plugged another piece on, until we kind of painted some of the city workers and their ability to move up into a corner. And that there, you know, that we covered them, but then we limited our possibilities.
Yeah, the city has pay grades, and the pay grade 9 is our department heads. Pay grade 8 is the people directly below the department heads, people most likely to get promoted. If we decide we can promote from within, that's where they would come from. Police and fire departments let me back up just a little bit. Our residency code says all city employees must live within a 9-mile radius of downtown Carbondale. That puts us to Carbondale, Murfreesboro, DeSoto, Makanda, Carterville. What I was talking about with the pay grade 8s, we require our department heads to live within the city limits proper. But the pay grade 8s are not required to live there, so they can live up to 9 miles
out. Away.
When it comes time for promotion, they're going to have to move into the city limits proper, sell their home, do whatever to qualify for the job if they want the job. So I guess what I was really pursuing was, is there a better way to define what living in town, quote unquote, means? And our city limits, when you look at the map of it, we have subdivisions. Brush Hill's a nice subdivision right up against Carbondale, bicycling distance to City Hall, can't live there.
Yeah.
Heritage Hills is another one. New Thompson Lake is one, completely surrounded by city limits, but they're not in the city limits, so you couldn't live there.
Right.
So it's just, we need people to think about it. And
Mike, if you indulge me for a second.
Yeah.
I can be extremely militant on this issue because I know what it takes to small towns and keep the bills paid. So if I've got small Millerville, we're going to call it Millerville, nice 4-square-mile community, and I've got, you know, 10 police officers, and then I got my street and highway guys, and I got my water guys, you know, I got my lawn guys, I got my light guys, I got the building roof guys, I got all my staff, right? And I'm thinking, you know, I'm the tyrant of Millerville, we'll call me. And by golly, if you're coming out of my city coffers, I want you to be putting back in my city coffers. If you are the police officer in my community, I want you to feel invested. I want you to live in Millerville, because if you don't, people go, what? You don't think the town that your police is safe? I mean, there's all these connotations that come from this, and I can be pretty militant about this, because we're paying you out of the tax coffers, but you're putting those taxes into another town. I want to see them come back to my town. I want to see those property taxes. I want you to shop in my town. I want you to live here. I want you to say, by your presence, you believe in what you're doing and you're working hard because you got skin in the game and it's your home. And then my sane nature comes out and says, you know what? Maybe he wants to work in Millerville, but he inherited a house from his father that it means everything to him. His father spent his life building this incredible home with a pool and brick walls and a Zen garden in the back, and it's his heritage and it's his ownership. And who am I to say a man can't live where he wants to live? And then I realize there's a lot of ground between those two ideas.
There sure is.
But see, I understand both of them. I really do. Well, I mean, I understand the guy says, you know, look, this is my home. Home is something unique to us. I've spent a lot of time and money, and now I get this opportunity for a job, and I'm the best man for the job, but you won't let me move because I won't get up off of my heritage. Gee whiz, I don't envy you or the city council wading through this minefield.
Yeah, it's a tough one. And to top it off, the deputy fire chief position, not the individuals, but the position, the deputy fire chiefs, we have three, and deputy chiefs of police, we have two, and those positions are exempted from having to live in city limits.
Yeah.
So when, and oddly enough, we need a full-time police chief hired sometime soon. It's been 10 months. We have our fire chief is retiring. He's announced his retirement. We're going to have to hire a fire chief. All the candidates for that live outside the city limits proper. They all also live out the mile and a half zoning influence that the city of Carbondale has. So, you know, it's something that it's just time to look at this. You know, probably the reason we have the exemptions is because of how police and fire promote individuals. You start at patrolman or fireman, you move up through the ranks of sergeant, lieutenant, captain, and deputy chief. So
don't want to lose good people.
No, we don't. And so
those biggest resource the town has.
Yeah, sure. And they're the ones immersed in the community. I mean, even if they don't live in the city limits proper, they're coming to work every day. They are in our civic clubs. They are at meetings at night in Carbondale. Staff attends almost every commission that we have has a staff member there, and it's a top department head type staff. So It's a tough issue to deal with. I think we've got council thinking about it now, considering it, and we're just going to have to work through it. I don't have the solution myself. But
here you are working on another piece for Carbondale that might become a legacy.
Yeah.
And important for the future.
Yeah.
And the way other people maybe even make decisions in their own small communities who are even in on thinner margins. Look, I mean, I was telling you when we were chatting on the phone yesterday, Detroit says, please, police officers, move into town. Live where you police. We'll give you a house.
Yeah.
And then pay you the regular. I mean, this conversation is not just Carbondale. It's happening a lot of places for a lot of different reasons. You know, Carbondale it had a problem with the pony. And it looks like the decision city council acting as the liquor board, which, you know, many communities, it's just the mayor, right? Got a liquor advisory board in Carbondale. So the liquor license will not be re-granted, extended for the pony.
Right, exactly. That was voted down 3-4 at the, or 4-3 at the liquor commission meeting. The owner of the pony is appealing this to the state liquor board. We got notice of that appeal just a couple of days ago. He will be able to continue to operate with a local liquor license through that appeal process. What can happen is one of two things. The state can uphold the local liquor commission's decision, or they can tell us to issue the license. If they tell us to issue the license, we have two options. We issue it or we go into court to try to enforce our decision.
I've not been in the place, so I can't see from experience, and maybe I should before I open my mouth, but it's the issue is not alcohol so much as it is the prospect or the nature of the business. Maybe that would be the term?
I've been referring to it as the business model.
Okay. Because, it's not a strip club. But
no, technically it's not a strip club, and there's all these subtleties of definition in what we're doing here, whether it's adult entertainment, whether it's a strip club, and it's definitely not a strip club.
Right.
But it does fall. I mean, Carbondale has an ordinance. It falls under an ordinance that we've had in place for a while.
Well, and a stringent one, having dealt with it in various businesses, doing anything from bikini contests on, right, that I've had to deal with this in businesses and have realized that Carbondale is observant on the issues, we'll call it.
Right.
And they policed it. I mean, there's many a time that I was doing something that, you know, involving scantily clad women that I look back and there's two Carbondale PD officers that are watching too. And I know the rules.
Yeah.
And we observe them. Nobody got in trouble, but I know there's rules and I know they need to be observed because you're being observed. You're being watched. We all are all the time now.
Sure. Sure.
So that's the nature of that. And so we'll just wait for the high authorities. But these also, you've got new liquor licenses allowed for Carbondale gambling expansion.
Right.
Do you think that's worth it? I wonder, when I look at these receipts and how much goes in and how much Carbondale gets to keep, I want to keep more of it. I really do. I'm unashamed of that.
Yeah, we keep 5% of the revenues. Our most recent report showed year-to-date we had about $88,000. That means $1.8 million was gambled in Carbondale.
I don't like that.
I don't either.
I don't like bleeding out to somewhere else. Do not, and especially because that's just the last time. Then there'll be another million. And
right.
Then another million, and it'll leave the community.
Yeah, the great majority of it leaves the community.
And then people are going to say, I'm a prude. And not that I'm ashamed of being a prude. I'm not. This is a math figure for me. And there's been a lot of research done in a lot of different locations that say for small communities, gambling is a bad thing.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, the state of Illinois got this started. It's a de facto tax for them to avoid raising taxes, and they're expanding gambling all over Illinois.
Yeah, they are.
And, they always say it's going to education, so they get some gambling revenue, send it to education. Previous funds are pulled away, gone somewhere else. So it's just a shell game.
Shell game, yeah.
And it's from the very get-go, it's kind of a ridiculous thing. I'm not fond of gambling.
But this is the thing that's kind of interesting, isn't it, Mayor? When you become mayor, you really can never understand the perspective until you're there.
Well, that's true.
When I'm idealistic. I think that's one of the reasons why you and I get along so well. We're kind of idealistic guys. You know, we remember what things used to be like, and we'd like rest stops on highways in Illinois. Imagine that. We took that for granted, right? I know that's just a picky thing. But once you become mayor, you realize, ooh, well, I've got the law here, and I have to. I have to be that guy, the one that observes the law, and if it needs to be changed to work on that, I can't just go out and go by executive caveat and change things,
right?
Because I want them that way, or I think they're that way, or everybody thinks that way. There are other considerations, yeah. And they're multiple, and they're constant, and they're always present.
Yeah, and you know. My belief is city council needs to be careful that we are not making decisions with our heart. We have to make it with our mind. We can certainly consider how we feel about things, but we also have to stay within the ordinances that we have. Now, if we don't like those ordinances, let's get together and change them, because we can certainly do that. Right. We can change it, make it the way that this council wants it. That said, some of these ordinances we have a long history of. We have a lot of councils that have acted on them, refined them and whatever. So we need to watch that history. In the case of the Pony, here's an organization that had a license previously. And, yes, we've had a lot of issues with paperwork and so on and so forth in buying a corporation. Kind of got it straightened out, and it was straightened out to my satisfaction. He's never had any citations. He's had some warnings, but never a formal citation for anything wrong in the place. And then we vote to deny his renewal of a license. A man's invested almost $2 million in right in that part of town, not just in the pony, but in the buildings that he's bought there and renovating parking lots and so on. So, again, I'm not fond of his business model myself, but we have to be careful that we don't violate his rights in the decisions we make. And, you know, we have the ordinance on the books. We can grant the license. And then if there are things that we think are wrong, we need to write the citations, build a history, and have a reason for not reissuing the license.
Yeah, because that's big one, because there will be lawyers involved.
Yeah, and, unfortunately.
You know, and this is, we live in a time where that's not the way we want to see taxpayer dollars spent.
No, and we don't have them to spend these days, I tell you.
Right, we don't want to run a tab
either. We don't
want
to spend them unnecessarily. So
just so I'm going and good and aggravated, $1.7 million in gambling with $222,000 staying at the city? Is that right?
No, $1.7 million in gambling and about $88,000, 5% stays at the city.
$88,000.
Yeah.
And out of $1.7 million?
Right.
Sorry, I'm just being more ticked off.
I know.
The more and more I think about that. Boy, I may need to run to office is what I'm thinking. I'm sorry. I'm thinking maybe you should run for office. Maybe
I tell you, it's dangerous to get Tom Miller lit up on something.
I'm probably going to chew on this bone for a long time and just waller it around until we're done. Mike, thanks for coming over this morning. I know you had city council late last night, and then you were here early in the studios this morning. I really appreciate you coming over.
Always glad to be here.
All right, July 4th, 4th of July celebrations. Carbondale is notorious for putting on a great big show. I can see it from my house. And I live in Williamson County.
Yeah. And real quickly, Tom, our sponsors are Carbondale Tourism, the Carbondale Chamber of Commerce, Carbondale Park District, the Carbondale School Districts, and SIU.
Good.
So we have a good display coming up, and I hope we get a break in the rain where we can all get out and have a good time.
I went to the campus 2 weeks ago. I'd like to go when the students are there so I can take a look around and see what's new, and was down by the Evolve Project. You know, downtown, there's some momentum there. There's ideas. We have waited and hoped and thought and planned for a long time. It's so nice to see it come about.
Yeah, we have many things going on. We've ever since I've been a businessman in Carbondale, we've wanted to get rid of the utility lines along Illinois Avenue. It looks like that is a real possibility now. Ameren is working hard with us. We've had several meetings to be able to do that. They have a plan. We have a way to finance it. And that'll make the streetscape immediately more acceptable to people, and it'll also give our businesses cleaner, more reliable power coming underground and new wiring into them. So,
yeah,
well, so we have a lot of things. Storms. New Hilton things Hotel is on the works.
Oh yeah, I know. Boy, it didn't take long to pull the old place down.
Yeah,
I was there and then it was gone. I was like, man, was there a highly selective tornado here last night? I mean, that building just got sucked up and was gone. They're moving forward, aren't they?
Yeah.
That's another thing that, you know, I enjoy. And then you got the gynecological offices there. They're located where the old apartment buildings are.
Right.
There's a lot of good things going on, and it is so doggone easy to get tied up in residential requirements and the liquor license for the pony, and we have a tendency to gravitate to those kind of stories, even though right in front of us, underneath our feet, good news stories are going on in Carbondale coming up. Now, not the best of news from the way things are falling out for the water park, so we could say, oh, the water park, but look what else is going on successfully.
Right.
It's so easy to get distracted by the negative, because that's our human nature.
Yeah, it is, and, you know, that's what people kind of look for is bad news, unfortunately.
Yeah. Well,
it's harder to get the good news out than it is the bad news.
I try to balance myself because I'm one of those guys, but I try to get some balance in there, too.
Yeah.
Hey, Mike, as always, good luck, okay?
Thank you, Tom. I appreciate it.
8:43.